For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
I really thought I was going to talk about sexual sin today. And that's what I came downstairs prepared to do. Amen. I was going to talk to the men about idolatry and to this group about sexual sin. But, you know, God wouldn't let me do that. I talked to the men about binding and loosening. And binding and loosening is probably the most important aspect of your walk. There are two things that you have to know. One is who you are in Jesus Christ. And two, to know how to stand on that and bind the enemy. And so we're going to talk today. Let's look at Jeremiah 22:20. You all remember the story of Jeremiah. Jeremiah came back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was there. Temple had been restored, but it was under constant attack because there were no walls around it. And the people were not able to obtain their heritage of the people of God standing in their heritage, because they had no protection. And so God sent Jeremiah back. And as he began to build the wall, Satan's servants came to him. And the first thing they did was they came to him. And in chapter 19, he says, But when Salabite, Holabite, and Tobite, the Anamite official, and Geshem there, Lord, you know all these names. They've all gone to glory, Lord. Heard of it. They laughed us to scorn, despised us, and said, what is this thing that you are doing? We will rebel against you. Will you rebel against me? And I answered them and said to them, the Lord of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. They came in and said, we're going to help you build it. We want part of it. Now, you know, when the devil wants to help you, you better look out. When he says, we want to help, you better look out, because he's coming after you. But Nehemiah said, you've got no heritage, no rights, or no memorial. The Lord himself will prosper us him, and we will build it. What is a heritage? According to Webster's New World Dictionary, a heritage is something handed down or passed down from one of our ancestors or the past, such as a characteristic, a culture, or a tradition. And it's the rights of bundles of status reserving from being born in a certain place at a certain time. And we are subject to the acts of our ancestors. And we see that in Exodus 34:5. And in Exodus 34:5, we have God's nature revealed. Now, you remember that Moses, when he started back up the mountain, he got himself a second set of tablets. He was going back up the mountain, and the Lord came down and appeared and passed before him and proclaimed his name. In Hebrew, the name proclaims the nature. And so, Exodus 34, verse 5, then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Then comes something else. By no means clearing the guilty. Now, if you have a New American Standard, it says, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Does it say that any place else in the Bible? Well, yes, it does. It says it in Lamentations 17:7-5. Lamentations 5:7-18. It says in Psalm 103:17. It says in Exodus 24-6. Numbers 14:18. Jeremiah 32:18. Deuteronomy 5. Isaiah 65:7. And Amos 4:2. And some others too. But we'll look at a couple of those. Let's look at Numbers 14:18. Numbers 14:18 says, the Lord is, and him, Moses, is reminding God what he said. He's interceding for the people. The spies have come back, and 10 of them gave a bad report, and 2 gave a good report, and the people got all upset and wouldn't go into the promised land. And God just told Moses, and just get out of the way, I'm going to kill all of them, start over with you. And Moses fell on his face before him, and he rehearsed to God what he'd said about his nature. Verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering, abundant mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Then he says, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, as you've forgiven your people from Egypt even till now. But you see, here he rehearsed to God his nature as he had revealed it to him. Let's look at Jeremiah 32:18. Jeremiah 32:18. Here Jeremiah is praying for the people. And he says, verse 17, Allah God, behold, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched hands. There's nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children to the third and the fourth generation. That's a memorial, a heritage. Now, there are lots of different heritages. Let's look at the one for whoredom, for idolatry, in Hosea 4. You remember there was Daniel and then Hosea. I don't want to go through this whole thing because I can teach a couple of hours on this particular passage of Scripture, but we'll just look at some of the highlights of it, and we'll read it. 6-14, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People, if you don't know, you can be destroyed because you have rejected knowledge. So I don't want to know. I don't want to go to church and hear about it. I don't want to know about all that. Because you rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. First, he's going to reject you as a priest, and he's going to forget about your kids. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me, I will change their glory into shame. You'll get shame instead of glory. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their hearts on iniquity. It will be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. Gluttony. They shall commit harlotry and not increase. That's sterility. Whoredom and wine and new wine enslave the heart. You'll be enslaved to whoredom, to drunkenness. People ask counsel of their wooden idols, that's idolatry, and their staff inform them. This is what brings all this on. Number one, the people ask counsel of their wooden idols. They're bowing down before Baal and asking for advice. They aren't going to the Jehovah God who makes everything, who knows everything. Instead, they're going to Baal and bowing down before an idol. Number two, their divination rod or staff informs them. Y'all know what a divination rod is? Does anybody in here know what a divination rod is? Nobody knows? A divination rod. Well, you see them today, plumbers will use them. They'll take a couple of gem clips and straighten them out and hold them like this. And they will walk trying to find the pipe under the ground. And when these things turn like this, they're over the pipe. Now they say it's a magnetic field. You know, electricians will do this, too, to find the electrical conduit under the ground. A water witch will take a forked stick. You notice the word water witching? And they will take and they'll walk like this, and the stick will bend down. If you've never seen this, it just doesn't, it just, you say, well, he twists it in his hands, or he's got some way he pushes it down. But I've seen those sticks bend over and break. Man trying to hold it up, and that stick will bend down and break. Brother Williams walked beside one of Glenn's relatives when they were witching for water, and he didn't believe, he's a Pentecostal preacher, and he didn't believe in it, you know, and so he... And he was walking along, and Brother Williams would say, now, and the stick would bend. He'd come back up and walk along, and Brother Williams would say, now, and the brick and would go down again. And got through, said, you don't want to know what's happening? Said, what? Said, well, there's a big demon walking the other side of you, and every time he reaches out to bend the stick, I say, now. He said, he'll reach out and bend the stick now. Now, some people have this gift from God. Don't say which God, though. And it is a heritage that's passed on in families. That's a divination rod. Ouija board, that's a divination rod. Table tipping, that's a divination rod. Looking into the mirror and talking to the mirror, Mary Worth, that's a type of divination. Anybody know what table tipping is? You know, you take the table and put two ashtrays on either side and it moves back and forth. You ask the question, it moves this way, yes, moves that way, it's no. Now, if you've never seen these things, you say, that really happened? Yeah, it really happens. They are real. And Parker Brothers sells 4 million Ouija boards a year. And until you see that pallet actually move and spell out something, you know, it's just sort of strange. But these people stand around. And if you stand around and watch it, came to prayer meeting once. And these people were all gathered over the table, and they were just talking and laughing. I said, what's going on? And a Ouija board over there. I said, look at that thing move. I said, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Ouija, you get out of here. And it stopped. He said, well, we didn't believe it. We just want to see how it worked. And we had to cast a Ouija out of all of them. Just being there watching it, let that demon come into them. Just being there watching it, let that demonic force come into them. The one lady who said who refused to believe and went over and sat down and said, yeah, I don't do that. And she just got into all kind of family problems. So she decided she wanted deliverance. That thing almost tore her throat out coming out. It came out of the others real easy, but because she refused to believe it, she refused to submit to authority, she was rebellious. That thing caused her, when all the problems broke out in the family, when she really wanted it, she had served it, and it had more power over her. Now remember this, that which you serve, you give power in your life. The Lord, Jesus said in John, he who commits sin becomes a slave to sin. Romans 6:16 says that what you submit to, either to righteousness or to sin, that's what you become a slave to. The more you submit to it, the more you're in bondage to it. How much authority do you have in your life? Just how much did you submit to it? The longer you do it, the more authority it's got in your life. The more the other demons it can bring in. Well, anyway, that's what a divination rod is. I sort of got away from that a little bit. But their rod informs them. A spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. Well, now, why in the world does they use a sexual term for somebody who's in idolatry? Now, whoredom, that's a sexual term. Everybody here know what a whore is? It's, now, don't turn me off, folks. That's a good word. It's in the dictionary. All you got to do is look it up. W-H-O-R-E, whore. That's in the dictionary. It is one who is sexually promiscuous. That's the definition. It's different from a harlot. A harlot is one who engages in sexual intercourse for pay, for money. The Bible speaks of the difference between the harlot and the whore. God speaks of it as prophecy in his Bible. I don't mind preaching what's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But why would he use a sexual term here? Let's go on over. Well, I can turn the page over. They have played the harlot against their God. They have offered sacrifices on the mountaintops. They burn incense on the hills, under the poplar and oaks because the shade is good. All right, this is all speaks of idolatry. They said they played the harlot against God by being involved in idolatry. Therefore, because of this, your daughters will become harlots or whores, and your brides will commit adultery. He said, I won't punish your daughters when they commit harlotry or your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go apart with harlots. They offer sacrifices with the ritual harlot. Now, what is a ritual harlot? That's a zealot. I think that's the way you pronounce it. They said about me in high school that I could torment one poor word 10,000 ways. That is a temple priestess who is a prostitute and sells sexual favors to the people who come into the temple. They make an offering to the gods, and then they can have, they go into the whorehouse there. Now, I don't want y'all to turn y'all off, but that's the way it was. It's recorded in the Bible. They offered a ritual sacrifice. They offered a sacrifice to the gods, and then they went into to use the temple prostitutes, be male or female. Now, every time a righteous God, a righteous king took over Israel, he had to run the male prostitutes out of the temple. Y'all read that in Kings, didn't you? Y'all read that in Kings? I can show it to you if y'all didn't read it. It's in there. And so, he says, therefore people who do not understand will be trampled. That's learned. And what he's saying is that sexual intercourse outside of marriage is an act of worship to the devil. With hint to God, it's a type of idolatry. He relates idolatry and intercourse outside of marriage to whoredom, to devil worship. And you realize that if you're not worshiping the Lord God Jehovah, or the Lord God of heaven, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings, if you're worshiping some other idol, you're worshiping a demon. Paul says those who sacrifice to idols sacrifice to demons. Don't know y'all know that? And so that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And so if your relatives have been involved in the Masons, in the Eastern Star, in greed, in idolatry of any sort, and you got the curse of whoredom on your family. Your grandfather was a Mason, you got the curse of whoredom. It's come down through you. One lady who was a missionary, I was ministering to him, who was a missionary to France, and she said, and she spoke with the predominant religion in France, and she said, you realize that they worship idols. They worship saints, and they worship people other than God. I said, yeah. Is that the reason that they're such a promiscuous nation? Is that the reason that sexual promiscuity has always been a horrible problem in France? I said, probably. It's certainly under the course of whoredom, because they practice witchcraft, they carry wine. How many of y'all used to have a little thing on your key ring? I used to have a little piece of silver on mine. It had a picture of a man with a staff, you know. It was supposed to protect me while I was traveling. Y'all ever had one of those? I used to carry one in my pocket all the time. It was a big, nice one. Now, that is a talisman. That is sorcery by definition. By Webster's dictionary definition, that is a talisman. And I depended on that thing to protect me while I was driving, not my Lord, not Jesus Christ. I depended on that thing. And that is witchcraft, sorcery, idol worship. And it condemns you to the curse of whoredom in your family. Okay? Let's look at Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23:2 says, one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. The old King James says, a bastard, even to the 10th generation. And the next one says, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the kingdom of the congregation of the Lord, even the 10th generation. Now, the Moabites and the Ammonites were product of incest. They were the products of Lot laying with his daughters. After the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his daughters went in the cave up there, and they got the old man drunk. because there was no man to lay with them, and they lay with their father. And so that's the curse of incest. Now, that works out in the New Testament.
Praise and bless and glorify you. Back in Deuteronomy, back in Genesis, oh, Lord, where is that? Back in Genesis about, oh, Jacob's family sins against him. There's a, where is it, Glenn, the story of what?
You looking for Judah and Tamar?
Yes. That's, Judah was one of the sons. 38. Okay, yeah, Joseph's family sins with the Canaanites. In here, if you read this, you'll find that Judah was the third son, the son through which it was prophesied the king would come. It was prophesied that the king would come through Judah. Now, Judah lay with his... Judah had two sons, and they both died, and they had a wife. He had a wife named... oh, hallelujah. Tamar, T-A-M-A-R, Tamar. And so when the first son died, he gave the wife to the second son, and he died. And so he said, go home. When the third son grows up, I'll give you to him. But he said, you know, she didn't kill two boys. Said, I'm going to leave her over there and get another wife for him. And so when she saw that she wasn't going to give us, she went and disguised herself as a prostitute and seduced the old man and became pregnant by him. And took his staff and his seal as a pledge, and she kept it. And so then when they wanted to bring her out to burn her, she sent these things to him, said, whose are these? He said, I'm pregnant by this man. And he said, oh. And so she had two sons, Perez by Tamar. Now let's look over in Matthew. She had Perez by Tamar. Now let's look in Matthew chapter 1. And you will find in verse 2, Judah begot Perez and Esau by Tamar. That's Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. Perez got Hebron and on and on and on. Well, you have to realize, why did Saul, who was a Benjamin, become king? And after him, David, who was from Judah. But if you count the generations down, David was the 11th generation after. It took 10 generations for that curse to wear off before Judah could receive its birthright. Count the generations. They are there.
God couldn't go against his own law.
It's there. I would like to say that was my revelation, but that's Derek Prince's revelation. I heard it on a tape, and I can't doubt he's right. I'd like to say I thought of it, but God showed it. He didn't show it to me. I heard Derek Prince preach it. But the incest curse worked itself out. Therefore, Saul was for the first king was from Benjamin. The second king was David. Took 10 generations of that curse of incest to wear itself out. Incest is a self-perpetuating curse. It is a secret sin, and I see it. And I see it go from family to family to family to family. You need to break the curse of incest. Illegitimacy, the bastard curse, the same thing. Cut your tape off for a minute, Glenn. I can't put that on tape. I don't know where these tapes will go. And you know, I just can't do that. I can't put that type of information on a tape. You know? I'm a long way away from it, but that tape may follow me home. But these people are born-again, spirit-filled Christians that say that the curse disappeared when I was saved. It's just like, well, we'll go on. It takes, you have to declare it done. It's not automatic. Okay. Gosh, Glenn, I don't know if I'll ever get through this rate I'm going. The cure is in Galatians 3:13. Let's turn to Galatians 3:13. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Well, where does it say in the Bible that you need to confess the sins of your ancestors? It says it in Leviticus 26. Let's turn over to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26:40 says, but if they will confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their unfaithfulness with which they were unfaithful to me, and they also have walked contrary to me, I have also walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies and so forth, if you want to read the rest of it. But it says, if they will repent, confess the sins of their ancestors. Now, you know, incest goes 10 generations. Illegitimacy goes 10 generations. That's over 1,000 people. Ain't you got any idea? A generation is 40 years. Ain't you got any idea what your blood kin was doing 400 years ago? None of us do. I break curses of incest and illegitimacy on everybody. And y'all ought to, too. 460 years ago is bad enough. Try to go back four generations. That's hard enough. Better go back 400 years? 400 years? Let's go on. Praise God. Okay. Now, Romans 10:4 says Jesus Christ was the end of the law for righteousness. Your righteousness now is not dependent on you keeping the law. Your righteousness before God is dependent upon Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you and his redemption. He's redeeming you. He's redeemed you from the curse of the law. But you have to claim it, just like he healed you. By his stripes, the whipping post, you have been healed. But you got to claim your healing. You got to claim it. Praise the Lord Jesus. Rights. Let's look at the rights now. That's heritage. The whoredom curse, the incest curse, the bastard curse, the curse of the vagabond. That's in Psalm 109. Anybody who wants to read it, it is a psalm that the witches use because it's considered the perfect curse because it covers everything. And they read that as a curse. And the Psalm 109:5 says they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. And the proverb says if you reward good with evil, reward somebody with evil for doing good. It says evil will not leave your house. And it says in verse 10, let the children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread from their desolate places. Let a creditor seize all he has and let strangers plummet his labor. You can read the rest of it. I'm not going to spend the whole time reading that curse. But it's you're all aware that that is what Peter quoted for Judas Iscariot in Acts chapter 3. But it's a vagabond curse. You got anybody in your family that's returned evil for good? You know, somebody tried to be good to them, and they turned around and stuck them in the back. You need to repent of it. Say, God, got somebody stole from people when they were good to them? Return evil for good. You need to repent of it in your family line, particularly if you have trouble with money. You got trouble with money, seems like you're wandering around and you're working your heart out and keep putting money in there. It seems like there's a hole in the bottom of your sack and you tithe and you give offerings to the church and it seems like there's a hole and it just keeps running out. And the harder you work and put in, the bigger the hole seems to be. You ought to think about the vagabond curse. The curse of the vagabond. Over some of your relatives in the past have returned evil for good. You need to break that curse. According to Galatians 3:6-13, say, I break that curse in the name of Jesus Christ. And I claim the promise in 2 Corinthians 8:9, that though he was rich, he became poor, so that through his poverty I might become rich. He promises you. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. Rights. The rights in the justice area. If you look at rights from a justice point of view, it's one's authority or ability. The enemy has no rights to you because of the cross of Jesus Christ. The enemy has no rights to you. He has no heritage to you because Jesus was made a curse for you that you might be delivered from the sins of your ancestors. You've got no heritage in you. Now, he's got no rights to you because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of the exchanges that were made on the cross for you. Let's look at Isaiah 53. I have to tell you that I can preach on this for about 10 hours, and so I have to be careful. I like to think of myself as a teacher, but when I get on this, sometimes I get to preaching. Praise God. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 56 says, like sheep, we've all gone astray. Everyone has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Now, what is iniquity? Iniquity is rebellion and all the evil consequences that occur because of it. An iniquity is just rebellion, refusal. Know what's right. Know what you're supposed to do. But be stubborn and say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care. Hallelujah. My son was healed. My son was healed, fell off of a cliff in Santa Cruz and was healed. And he was a spirit-filled Christian who was backslidden, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. His brother and I prayed that night at the prayer meeting, and we got a word of prophecy that he'd walk again. We got on the airplane and flew out there. The neurosurgeon had told me his cord was completely transected. They'd opened it up, and they'd looked at it. And we got out there, and we prayed for him again. He began to wiggle his toes. And 6 weeks later, he got up off that stocker frame and walked out of the hospital. He's 99% healed today. And I'll always remember it was a year later. He was backsliding again, and I confronted him. And he said, Dad, I know that God lifted me up off that stocker frame. I know he healed me. But I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to lay with women, and I'm going to drink whiskey, and I'm going to do drugs, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't care what he likes it or not. And, you know, I just backed away from him like this. He said, what's wrong? I said, I want to get away when the lightning strikes you. I sure don't want it to hit me. And that's iniquity, people. That's iniquity. And he eventually came back to God, and he's living for God now. But that's iniquity. And God laid all of that on Jesus Christ. On him he laid the iniquity of us all. He bore all of our sins and iniquity and transgressions. Praise you, Lord Jesus. He took the punishment that we might have his peace. Isaiah 53:4-5. 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now that is a sad translation. And when they changed the King James, they changed some things that really didn't need to be changed. But some things should have been changed. Now the translators of the King James Bible just did not believe that it was so good that God had taken all of our sickness and all of our pain. They just couldn't believe it. And so they put in here grief and sorrows. They put in grief and sorrows. And those words are used elsewhere. In the German Bible, where it says sorrows, it says schmel, which is a German word for pain. The Scandinavian Bible does the same. Only in the King James does it say sorrows, when it should say pain. In griefs, that's sickness. In Michael, it says, I will smite you with sickness. Same word. But there it's translated sickness. Here it's translated grief. He bore all your sickness and all your pain. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's look at 53:10. It said, yet it pleased God to crush him and put him to grief. Let's put him to sickness. He took our sickness that we might have his help. Keep your finger there in Isaiah, and let's turn over to Deuteronomy 15. And so you shall serve the Lord the God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's a wonderful thing to be healed. But it's better if you can walk in divine health than not ever get sick. And he says, I'll take sickness away from you. And no one shall suffer a miscarriage or be barren in your land. No one will be suffer a miscarriage or be barren in your land. Now, and you're all familiar with Exodus 15 where he says, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. We won't go to that one. And now let's look at Deuteronomy 7:14. Yes. Deuteronomy 7:14 says, you shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or a female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away all sickness and will not afflict you, will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you. And so God took your sickness that you might have his help. Jesus took your sickness upon him so that you don't have to be sick. Isaiah 15:23:10 says, he will make his soul an offering for sin that you might have his righteousness. Now the companion scripture to that is 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who know no sin, to be sin for you, that you might be the righteousness of God. I'm quoting it, but you need to look at it, people. You remember 30 or 40% of what you hear. You're in about 60 to 70% of what you hear, see, and read. And then if you review it, that's the reason we give you tapes, so you can review it, and it'll go into your long-term memory. 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We talked about Galatians 3:13, the curse of the law. 2 Corinthians 8:9. This is another promise. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And they're talking about money there, folks. They're talking about, you know, hard cash. Those terms are terms. Those are money terms. That's money talk. Go back to Isaiah 53:12. He poured out his soul unto death. He poured out his soul unto death. He took death that you might have life. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Praise you, Lord God. Romans 8:15-17. Would I receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but receive the bondage, the spirit of adoption, wherewith I require Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit, we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. Most folks leave off the last part there. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. The one thing, you know, Brother Chuck said that there was one promise in the Bible that was unconditional. It said, in this world you will have tribulation. Jesus said, a servant is not above his master. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If they reject me, they'll reject you. In this world, you're going to have rejection. And if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But praise God, you're a daughter and son of the Lord God Almighty. You're children of the King. Hallelujah. Child of God. Let's look at Philippians 3:20. You see, you're a daughter of the King now. And it says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly await for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the workings by which he is able to do all things unto himself. You're a citizen of heaven. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us to implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Do you understand what it means to be an ambassador? Do you know that if an ambassador in the UN in New York commits a crime, he's not subject to the laws of this nation? They put him on a plane and send him home. He's not subject. He's subject. He's not a citizen of this nation. He is an ambassador. He represents the head of state from whence he came. And he's not subject to the laws of our land. They will send him home. They won't try him for murder. Now, his country can send him back if they felt like that he really did something bad. They can send him back. As an ambassador, you have the right to call. He has the right to call on the armed forces of the king or the government that he represents to defend him. If the ambassador of Iran to Iran during Jimmy Carter's stand, if he had called on the army, he had a right to call for the army and the air force to defend him. We had a right to send our armed forces in and get our people out. But Jimmy didn't do it. Didn't do it, did he, Speed? Do you remember when the Israelis were in the... Well, we won't go. Let's don't go into that. But as an ambassador of the Most High God, you have a right to call on the legion of angels to loose them in your defense. If you're standing in the covenant and you're standing in the spirit, memorial. And so in justice we say, we don't have to take sickness. You don't have to take poverty. You don't have to take sin. You have to take attacks from the devil. Because you're an ambassador. You're a memorial. You mean your rights is that you're a child of God, an ambassador to the Most High God, able to call his armed forces to your defense. That's your rights. Now you have to know who you are when you leave him today. You need to stand on your rights. Your heritage is that you have been delivered from the sinful acts of your ancestors. And you need to claim that. You need to claim your rights as a child of God. You are not subject to sickness, to poverty, to sin, to the attacks of the enemy. You've got a right to call on the armed forces of the Most High God to your defense. Now, the devil doesn't want you to believe that. And this is done by binding and loosening. I don't have time, unfortunately. I'd love to teach on binding and loosening right now, but I don't have another hour. There are two types of binding and loosening. Matthew 16 refers to the binding and loosening in your home as an individual. You've got a right to bind. That word bind means tied with chains. The enemy. For your home. For yourself and your home. Matthew 18 speaks of binding and loosening for the church. It's given in the context for the church. Or two or three gathered together and harmonizing in the spirit. And you can pull down the enemy. And when you're walking along and these bad, confusing thoughts go through your mind. These thoughts of doubt and unbelief. And you say, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do it that bad. All you got to say, I bind you in Jesus' name. That's all it takes. You just, I bind you. And every time you bind him, the angels put chains on him and haul him off. Now, they may be 15, 20, 30, 40, or 50 of them right behind him, and he's one of them will just step right in there, won't even miss a lick, and just keep on talking. And you bind that one, too. And another one, another one, another one, another one. You know, the enemy, you know, the devil don't have an infinite number of demons. He got a finite number of troops. And after you've sent off about 500 of them, you know, he'll say, you know, that ain't working too good. We're going to try another way. Now, he ain't going to stop. He's always trying. But he will scroll up there. He'll scroll to get his mouse and scroll up the screen and say, look at here. This worked against her grandmother. Let's try this one. And he'll come at you from another way. But you bind that one, too. And you bind, and you bind, and you bind, and you loose yourself from from the enemy's grip, and you loose those, and you loose yourself from the past, and you loose yourself from your sinful acts by placing it under the blood of Jesus Christ. No memorial. Now, what's a memorial? A memorial serves to help people remember some person or past event. Let's look at Psalm 103. And this is your memorial. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your disease. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. That's a memorial, people. That's something to remember. And you bring that up to the enemy. That's your benefits. Let's look at Psalm 103:12. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Well, you know, if you start going west, you won't ever get east. Now, if you start going north, you'll eventually get to the North Pole and start going south. But when you're going east, or you're going west, you won't ever get to east because you just keep walking west. It is an infinite distance. God has placed them out there as far as the east is from the west. That's so far you can't measure it. In quantum theory, we call it infinity. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:17 says, your sins and transgressions I will remember no more. Isaiah 43:25 says, your sins and transgressions I will remember no more. Micah 7:19 says, they've been cast into the sea behind his back. And so, what is your memorial? The memorial is, forget not his benefits. Devil has no memorial. You've been delivered from the hand of the enemy. You've been translated into the kingdom of God. Your citizenship is not on this earth. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're an ambassador of the Most High God, a child of God, a brother and sister to Jesus Christ, and joint heir with him. And you need to tell the devil, you need to bind the devil, because you have the authority to bind him. He said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. He shall know I hurt you. So you need to bind him, people. When you leave him and he tries to jump on your back, quote Psalm 103 to him. You ought to memorize it so that you can sit and quote it. You need to memorize the 91st Psalm. You need to memorize it because the devil don't ever attack you when you got your Bible and your concordance right there. He attacks you when you're driving down the road. He attacks you when you're at the job and you're working. And you need to have that word buried in you so you can just bring it out. Bring it out and stand on it. Stand on the promises of God. And having done all else, stand. That word stand was the most filled word a Roman soldier could receive. You know what it meant? If a centurion came by and told a group of soldiers, stand him. He came back 3 hours later. They better be standing there or dead on the spot. If they backed up, they'd pour a hot lead in his ear, give him something to remember the order by. I mean, that was the death order. You don't yield. Jesus has said to you, stand. Having done all, stand in the armor of God. The armor all on the front, backside. You face the devil with the sword of the Spirit. Praying always. Now, most people leave out that last part. They say there's only one offensive weapon. That's the Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. But there's another offensive weapon. Let's look at Ephesians 6. Praying and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you need to have it planted in your heart so you can speak it out. And then it says, praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And it says, being watchful to this, and all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What does that word watch mean? That's only used four times in the New Testament. It means to stay up all night. Paul said in watchings twice. He said in fastings and watchings. If you've got a new translation, he'll say in sleeplessness. It means to stay up all night praying. You have a prayer watch, you stay up all night and pray. He says, get up and pray at night for all the saints. Pray for your friends. Pray for those that God puts on your heart. That word is used one other place. That's used here. It's used Paul uses an adjective of it, and then he uses it in Philippians. I mean, he uses it in Hebrews. Let's look at it. It's in Hebrews 13. And somewhere in my mind it says it's someplace else, but it didn't come to. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Means your pastor is staying up day and night praying for you. Watching. He's watching. He's up at night praying for you, going through the church rolls, praying for his members, praying for the problems that you've brought to him. He's watching out for your souls as those who must give account. See, he has to give an account someday. Let them do with joy, but not with grief, for being profitable to you. Now, that's a serious thing. Pray for your pastor's people. He has a serious burden to carry. I say this to you. Pray for those in authority over you. Pray for your pastors, because they have a serious burden to carry, and the devil centers on them. He centers in on them. Pray for your pastors, because your pastor is up praying for you. Because he's got to give an account for your soul. So today, I want you to remember that. Let's everybody stand up. I've been sitting for an hour or so. And you know, you can only absorb what the fanny can endure. You need to get up, get the blood all moving out of your feet, and praise God a little bit. Hold up your hands and praise Him. Jump up and down and say, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you and bless you, Lord. Okay. Say, dear Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, died on the cross for my sin, was raised for my justification, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. He is my big brother. God is my Father. I am a child of God. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. My citizenship is not in this world. It is in heaven. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have made me a child of God. By adopting me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is my Lord. He is my elder brother. My boss. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I repent of the sins of my ancestors. I break all the curses that have come down through the family line because of sinful acts of my ancestors or myself. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bore all my iniquity and the iniquity of my parents For on you was laid the iniquity of us all, that we might be the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bind all the spirits of iniquity, of whoredom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Of incest, of illegitimacy, of the vagabond. In the name of Jesus, I bind them. I break their power over me and my lineal descendants forever. I command these spirits to leave me now and never return. In Jesus' name. For it is written, He was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Joel 2:32. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, everybody have a seat now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Now, Lord Jesus, and everybody put both feet on the floor now. Now in the name of Jesus, I bind all the spirits of iniquity. I bind all the spirits of idolatry in the name of Jesus. I bind all the spirits of the Ouija boards, all the spirits of the card layers, all the spirits of divination, all the spirits of witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind these spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. I command them to leave God's people now in Jesus' name. I bind all the spirits of whoredom in the name of Jesus. I bind all the spirits of whoredom, of seeking after false gods in the name of Jesus, seeking after money, seeking after power and prestige. I bind these things in Jesus' name. I command these spirits to leave God's people. I bind the spirits of rejection, of not being loved, of not being wanted in the name of Jesus. I bind rejection by mother and rejection by father, rejection by peers in the name of Jesus. Rejection spirits, come out. These are children of God. These are the children of the Most High God. They are not rejected children. They are children. They have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. They are redeemed children. They are not... praise you, Lord, rejected children in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of fear. Fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not making it, fear of not being good enough, fear of being sick, fear of being poor, fear of spiders, fear of the dark, fear of water, fear of closed places. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I just bind fear and command it to be gone. For He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear turned God's people loose. Come out in the name of Jesus. All fear and anguish, come out. All fear and anguish, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all fear. Fear of not being loved in the name of Jesus. I bind all lust in the name of Jesus. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust for money, the lust for power, the lust for prestige, the lust for sex in the name of Jesus. I break your power and say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all the whoredom spirits and all the fornicating spirits in the name of Jesus. All the masturbating spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. All lust spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. All lust for money, lust for power, lust for prestige, come out in the name of Jesus. Lust for food. I bind the lust for food. I bind gluttony in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of gluttony and overeating in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of rebellion and stubbornness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the rebellious spirit. I bind the witchcraft spirit. For witchcraft is a sin of rebellion in the name of Jesus. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is an iniquity unto idolatry. I bind stubbornness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the stubborn streak in the name of Jesus, unteachable streak, stubbornness in the name of Jesus. I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Go!
Don't now leave God's people. I bind you and I break your authority and I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. Command you to be gone out of God's people. All stubbornness, go in the name of Jesus. All stubbornness, go. I bind the spirits of bitterness, anger, and rage in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of bitterness and anger and rage in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, come out of God's people. Come on out. Leave them alone now. Come out. Don't tear them. Just come out of them in the name of Jesus. Bind all bitterness in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of bitterness and pull out the root of bitterness and put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. Jesus Christ in the bitter pool to make it sweet in the name of Jesus. I bind all anger, rage, and retaliation in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of murder and anger and rage and hostility and say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. I bind the spirits of perfectionism in the name of Jesus. A perfectionistic. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. All perfectionistic spirits. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I command you to be gone. I bind the spirits of accusation and self-accusation. I bind the spirits of accusation and self-accusation. I bind the spirits of being unwanted and unloved. In the name of Jesus, I command you all to be gone now in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind the spirits of witchcraft. Witchcraft spirits, come out. Spirit of the vagabond, come out. I bind the spirit, break the curse of poverty in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of poverty in Jesus' name. All poverty spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of poverty, poverty of money, poverty of personality, come out. Come out, all poverty, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All poverty, we break your power. Come out. Bind the unteachable spirit. Bind the stubborn spirit. Bind the selfish spirit. All spirits of selfishness and jealousy and anger and rage, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All paranoid spirits, come out. Spirits of schizophrenia, come out in the name of Jesus. I break all your power now. I break your power over God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the spirits of infirmity in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of infirmity, all spirits of migraine headaches. I bind migraine headaches. I bind all sinus problems in the name of Jesus. I bind all glaucoma and all blindness in the name of Jesus. And all astigmatism, I break your power. I break the curse of allergies and asthma. I break the curse of sinusitis, labyrinthitis, deafness. I speak to the deaf spirit, and I bind it, and I command it to come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. And I bind the deaf spirits in the name of Jesus, sinusitis and labyrinthitis. I break their power, and I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out of God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. All dizziness, come out in Jesus' name. Be gone. All nausea. I bind the spirit of duodenitis in the name of Jesus. Gastritis. Esophagitis, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind all spirits of indigestion, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out. Bind all spirits of asthma, pneumonia, and pulmonary infections, and congestive heart disease in the name of Jesus. And myocarditis, come out, come out. All weakness of the heart in the name of Jesus. I bind all heart attacks in the name of Jesus. I bind all strokes in the name of Jesus. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. All hemorrhage, come out, come out. Acute myocardial infarctions, I bind you and I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind all spirits of pleurisy in the name of Jesus. All pleuritic chest pain, all shingles, I break your power in the name of Jesus. All herpes stomatitis in the name of Jesus. All genital herpes in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Command you to leave. I bind all colitis and all Crohn's disease and all diabetes and all pancreatitis. All hep
hepatitis in the name of Jesus. Cholelithiasis and gallstones. I bind all spirits of kidney stones. I command the kidney stones to dissolve and to go away in the name of Jesus, to break up and be gone and not form again. I bind all spirits of nephritis in the name of Jesus, all spirits of pyelitis, all spirits of cystitis. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All bleeding bladders, go. All spirits of you of enuresis, I break your power in the name of Jesus. You have no right, no heritage, no memorial here in the name of Jesus. We break your power and command you to leave in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of arthritis and pain, all spirits of myositis, all spirits of weakness in the name of Jesus, all spirits of lassitude, all spirits of lassitude and weakness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. All spirits of condemnation and self-condemnation in the name of Jesus. I praise you and I bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.